Chapter 9. The Great Famine. When White Fang's family arrived in a new village, it was usual for the dogs to run around and find their own food. In a village at the Great Slave Lake, a boy was cutting frozen moose meat with an axe, and small pieces were flying into the snow. The rule was that these pieces belonged to any dog that found them. But when White Fang began to eat the small pieces, the boy did not seem to know this law. He put down his axe and picked up a stick in order to beat the cub. White Fang knew he had broken no law, and he did not want a beating for nothing. Angrily, he knocked the boy over, biting the boy's hand before he could stop himself. White Fang knew that now he had broken a law, and he expected a terrible punishment. When the boy and his family came to Grey Beaver's teepee, White Fang hid behind his master's legs, but to his surprise, Grey Beaver, Kloo-Kooch, and Mit-Sah defended him. And so he learned that there were his humans, and there were other humans, and there was a difference. He must always obey his humans, but he did not have to obey the rest. Later that day, Mit-Sah was collecting firewood when he met the boy with the bitten hand, who had some other boys with him. Hot words were shouted, and then all the boys attacked Mit-Sah. White Fang was watching, and at first he thought it was Mit-Sah's problem and not his. But then he saw that the boys were beating Mit-Sah badly. In a rage, he sprang into the middle of the fight, and soon boys were running in all directions, the white snow red with blood. When Mit-Sah told his story in the camp, Grey Beaver ordered meat to be given to White Fang. There was no love between Grey Beaver and White Fang, but it felt like a strong chain was holding them together. If the wolf cub ever met Keecha again, he would not leave his master to go with her. The chain to his master was now stronger than his love for his mother. The long journey ended in April, when spring was in the air, and White Fang was a year old. They returned to the rest of their people, pulling into the village and unharnessing the dogs. White Fang was not full grown, but he was big for a one-year-old. Strong and long, with a wolf gray coat, no part of his body was dog, but he had dog instincts in his mind and heart. He wandered through the village, recognizing the humans and the dogs. While the puppies had grown like him, the adult dogs did not look as large as they had, and he found he was not frightened of them now. One day in midsummer, White Fang was walking through the village when he suddenly saw Keecha. As soon as he heard her snarl, he remembered at once everything about his life before he knew about men. He bounded happily toward her, but she met him with a snap that cut his cheek open. He did not understand and backed away. It was not Keech's fault. A wolf mother is not made to remember her cubs from the year before. She had new cubs now, and she had to protect them. When two of the cubs tried to play with White Fang, she cut his face a second time. A third attack was all that was needed to kill his old feelings for her. He allowed himself to be driven away. This was a female wolf, and it was a wolf law that the males must not fight the females. In the third year of his life, when White Fang was a full-grown adult, the area of the Mackenzie River suffered a great famine. In the summer, there were no fish. In the winter, there were no moose. The rabbits almost disappeared. Weak with hunger, animals fought and ate each other. Things were very bad for White Fang's village. The older and weaker Indians died of hunger, while the women and children refused food so that the hunters could eat something before they went out again to look for meat. The humans ate their shoes, and the dogs ate their harnesses. The dogs also ate each other, and the humans ate the dogs. Because the village had nothing to offer now, many of the dogs ran away into the forest, where they were eaten by wolves. White Fang also ran away into the woods, but he had more experience of living in the wild than the camp dogs. He could watch and wait for hours, completely still and silent, and then fly out of his hiding place to catch a rabbit. But there were not enough small creatures. He stayed near to the camp, stealing when there was something to steal and then disappearing into the forest again. Luck was on his side too. When he was at his weakest, he always found something to kill. Once, it was a young wolf. Another time, a lynx. Then he left that part of the country and returned to the valley where he was born. He stayed there for many weeks, until the famine finally came to an end. One day, traveling through the forest, he smelled fish cooking in the air. He came to an area of open land beside the Mackenzie River, where an Indian village had appeared. He recognized his old village. He came out of the forest and ran straight to Grey Beaver's teepee. Grey Beaver was not there, but Kloo-Kooch welcomed him with happy cries and gave him a whole fresh fish. He lay down to wait for his master.